That was good. Man, that was good. I was like, man, I don't even need to preach today. That was some good worship time right there. Hey, glad you're with us today. It's going to be an amazing day in the house of God together. I just want to say a big hello to our online church family. We miss you guys. Don't we miss them? We miss you guys. We miss you around here. Just want to just say something for those that are at high risk with COVID. We know that you can't be with us, and we want to make sure that you know that you are loved and that we're thinking about you, and if you need prayer for anything, please just let us know. For others of you that have maybe got comfortable in not coming to church, I just want to remind us that church is essential, that this is church. It's the people. It is not the sermon. It is not the band, it's the people. That's what makes church, church. And so for those, again, with COVID high risk, please stay at home. We will be praying for you. But if you've just gotten comfortable not being together, I want to encourage you to come back because you are missing out on a pate. Amen, somebody? All right, here we go. So we're going to be diving into a new series today. It is called Part of Something Greater. Being part of something greater than what's happening around you and how God has a plan. And we have a plan as a church and then a plan for your life. And we're going to dive into that today, how God has a plan for you. It's an amazing plan. It's not just to give you a job or this or that, but it's a plan to truly transform your life and to be part of something that is truly greater. And so I just want to ask anybody, have you ever experienced being part of something greater? Have you ever experienced that feeling of being part of this? Maybe it's a sports team or being part of a band or a music team or something that truly made life meaningful. I know this. We're going into our 20th year as a church. Isn't that amazing, somebody? 20 years. And I know a lot of you are part of when this church started and even the building campaign. That was truly being a part of something greater, greater than this life. And I believe that's what God has for each of us. In fifth grade, I had the opportunity to be part of something greater. I got to play my first fifth grade basketball team game. It was epic. When I joined the team, they gave me those awesome black Walmart shorts. Man. And then the reversible jerseys. You guys remember those things? And then when you wash them, they become a big ball, and then they don't fit anymore. I was wearing like a belly shirt on the games. But we were an amazing team. Like, amazing. Like 30 people knew who we were. I mean, we were amazing. And like we won 5 out of like 15 games. We were just killing it. And there's this one game, high intensity. The crowd was going nuts. All 15 parents were just going nuts in this little middle school gym. And it was just intense. And we're coming down to the last seconds of the game. And they're passing the ball around. The score is like 10 to 11. And we're down by 1. And it was intense. They're passing it 10, 9. And I'm at the top of the key. 8, 7. Passed to Tim Agramson, 6, 5. Then all of a sudden, it was like, remember the Titans, and Angels in the outfield converged on my shot. Shot it, 2-1, game over. Won the game. You guys don't seem very happy about that. Like, that was a big deal for me, okay? But it really was. It was so funny, because you look at it like, oh, that's cute, Tim. You made a shot to win a game. But for some reason, hitting that shot, being a part of that team, I still remember that feeling today. I still remember. And I know you in your life have those memories, right? You were part of something that was truly amazing, truly great. And God has that design for us as a church and as his people. But when I was a teenager, I was confused because I was heard that being a Christian was great. And I heard that God, Jesus is great, but yet when I experienced it, I was like, this doesn't seem great. All I come to is I sit down in a church seat, and I hear some guy up there yakking away, and we sing a couple songs, we get up and down, I don't know what that's about, and then we go home, and that's it? And I was confused, because if God was so great, why was my relationship with God not great? Was I missing something? Was I not experiencing what God had intended for me to experience? And I got shown this amazing story that truly changed the course of my life. It was one of the main pins to change the direction where I was going. I became almost borderline atheist because I was like, how is this God great, but yet I don't see anything great happening? So the story, it's a true story, it's a historical story. That actually happened 300 AD after Jesus has died and risen and gone into heaven. 300 years after that, Christianity was starting to spread all across Rome. And people were starting to follow Jesus and starting to go after him. But some in the Roman Empire didn't like that. And so what they did is they made a rule that, hey, you can't worship any other gods besides Roman gods. You have to worship our Roman gods. You have to bow down to them. And so there was these soldiers who decided that they were going to follow Jesus and not bow down. 40 men in the Roman army said, we will not bow down. This is a true story, historical. They said, we will not bow down. Well, the leaders of the Roman Empire were so upset about this, they wanted to make a public display of these men for not bowing down to their Roman gods. So they said, we will give you guys a horrific, horrific death if you don't bow down. And so what they did was a reversal of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, instead of burning to death, you're going to freeze to death. And I was like 18 years, 19 years old when I was hearing this story. And it was just like, what in the world? And so what they decided to do is take these 40 men, bring them out onto a frozen lake, strip them down, and have them stand out there and freeze to death. But just because they wanted to be in control, what they did was they put fire pots all around the lake with big tubs full of warm water so that if anyone would deny Jesus, they could run off that lake and jump into the water at any time they'd want. Talk about tempting. We all know Iowa winters. Can you imagine this? It's a true story. 40 men. So these 40 men, naked, walk out into the middle of the lake and they're standing there and they begin to freeze. And hour goes by, 2 hours go by, 3 hours go by. Men begin to just start dropping and dying because they're freezing to death. Get into the night hours, one of the men just couldn't take it anymore. He ran off of the lake, it says, ran off of the lake, got warm, and he says, I deny Jesus. I deny him. But the part that truly changed my life was what would happen next. Because of the faith of those other 39, one of the Roman soldiers who was standing on guard decided that he wanted to know this Jesus too. So it says that he actually took off his clothes, ran out to the middle of the lake, and says, I want to make sure that there's 40 men that die for Jesus today. And when I heard that, and I hope you hear today too, that's greater. That's greater than anything in life. That's greater than anything that could ever happen, is that these men had such a love for a person that they would give their lives freely for that cause. They render their lives for that person. And then at that point in my life, I said, I don't want to know a church. I want to know a person. I want to know that Jesus. Because if I can know that Jesus, I want to experience something greater than what I know in this life, which led me on a journey to who I am today. Passionate for Jesus. Passionate that people know Jesus. To know him truly, because it truly is the greatest thing, the greatest adventure ever in life. It's greater. And God opens that door for all of us today to experience greater. To experience something better than this life. But we have to get moving. We have to get moving. And we're going to have a safe confession hour right now. So if you've ever been at a stoplight before and pulled out your cell phone and you start playing on your cell phone, amen to you, sister. Start playing on your cell phone, and next thing you know, the light turns green. What happens behind you? Anybody ever done that before? You're lying, okay? So I've done that several times, and actually somebody from church saw me playing on my cell phone one time. That was embarrassing. And I just realized, oh my goodness, I need to get moving. I got a green light, but I'm still stopped. And some of you today need to get moving. God has given you a green light, but some of you are still stuck, stopped, looking down instead of looking where God wants you to go. And I pray that this series truly inspires you, that God, the Holy Spirit would really do something in you where it's like, I want to get moving towards something greater, something more amazing. So you're going to need your Bible. Do you guys bring your Bibles today? I know you brought your Bibles because you have a phone. And on your phone's a Bible. So turn to your Bible, turn to the book of Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. And we're going to look at a passage that you may not be familiar with, but the Jewish people are very familiar with Exodus 6 through 7. Now I want to explain why we're going to look at Exodus 6, 6 through 7 today. So as a Christian, we do something called communion. Communion is what we mostly know of a cup and some bread. And I was listening to this pastor this other day, and he gave this talk about communion that truly was amazing. I never knew this before. But he went over to Israel, and while he's over in Israel, he wanted to go see all the places where Jesus was. And he goes through all these spots, and he finally gets to this point, and the guy tells them about communion. And he says, you know what? Communion is often done wrong. And this pastor is like, what do you mean wrong? You know, I'm a pastor. I know how communion is done, a cup and some bread and some crackers. Well, that's communion. And the tour guide says, actually, there wasn't one cup. There was actually four cups. There's actually four cups at communion. Because when Jesus got together on the Passover with his disciples before he went to the cross, most likely, they read a passage of Scripture and they would drink four cups during that time. And so what we read when Jesus is actually grabbing a cup, most likely there was four cups that he was reading. And there's a passage that Jewish people read every Passover. And Passover is a celebration from when the Jewish people were let out of Egypt into their promised land, into freedom. And so the Jewish people, every Passover, will read the passage that we're about to read. And inside there's four main things that God wants to do in your life. Four things that God wants to do in your life. So this is Exodus 6 through 7. That's what it says. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. There's four main things in there that the Jewish people would drink a cup for. It was, I will bring you out, I will free you, I will redeem you, and I will take you as my own people. These are four promises of God. And we know that this was way back 1,000-plus years from Jesus' time, that this is God's heart. But I believe that this is the same heart that God has for us today. Same heart that he has for you today is that he will bring you out, he will free you, he will redeem you, and he will take you as his own people. And with this, we as a church have decided to build, we call them the Big Four, our vision, our way of doing things around these things. And we named them to know Jesus, find community, discover purpose, and live the mission. And this month, I'm going to pull apart each of these promises of God and how they apply to your life. So the first one we're going to look at today is to know Jesus. To know Jesus. It says this, I will bring you out. I'm just going to pray for a second. I just want to ask God to do a work through this, okay? Is that cool with you guys? I'm going to do it anyways. Okay. Lord, we just come to you, and I pray for those at home online right now, God, that you would touch our hearts, that you would do a work through these passages, God. And Lord, I pray that if somebody doesn't know you today, they'd come to know you. And God, for those that do know you, that we would grow in you. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. I will bring you out of slavery of Egypt. So this is the promise that God had for his people. Did you notice that it doesn't say, you will bring yourself out? These Egyptians were enslaving these Israelites. These Israelites were in slavery, in bondage. I mean, involuntary service, serving somebody else's kingdom. So they're in slavery and in bondage, and God makes this promise, says, I will bring you out. I will bring you out. And for today, for your life, this is something what we have to know, is that only God can bring you out of slavery to sin. Only God can do that. That should have been a bigger amen, church. I hope we get this, okay? This is so important because inside of each and every one of us, you know what we are? We righteous. I can do this. I'm a good person. You know what times we hear, I'm a good person? My good is better than my bad. Like if you ask somebody on the street, hey, you know, will you go to heaven? The answer is usually yes. The reason why is because my good is better than my bad. So we're saying that I will get myself out of Egypt. I can get myself out of this mess. So for Christmas, my wife and I did something really stupid. We bought a Lego set. A 1,500-piece Lego set. And we're just pray for us, okay, as we go through this. And in this Lego set, there's a lot of little pieces. And the other day, I was sitting with my kids. And, you know, I got three kids now and another one on the way. So it's getting a little chaotic, okay? I can't focus when I'm in that mode. So I got a kid on my lap. I got a kid over here, a kid, like, licking my ear. You know, it's just, like, just chaos, okay? And we're building this little boat, this ship. And there's this really tricky piece that has to be put on it. And so one of my kids is like, I can do it, Dad, I can do it. I'm like, okay, you can do it. And they're just there, and they're trying to do it, and I get so frustrated. Because I'm like, just let me do it. You're taking forever, you know? And she's just, and she starts crying. Like, no, baby, I got this, okay? Dad's a boss when it comes to doing Legos, okay? I can put this sucker together. And so I take that Lego piece and put that on. I'm a man, you know, it's like, look at me, baby girl. But what I realized about that is I believe that's how God feels about us all the time. Because me and you are like, I got this. And God's like, just let me do it. Dummy, okay? That's the Tim version, okay? But just let me do this because I am so focused that I can do this myself. But see, a lot of us actually do salvation that way with God, is that I can get to heaven on my own. I can do this. I can get out of Egypt. But the reality is this, that you and I have sinned so much that we're so deep in our chains that we cannot. The weight of your chains on your life because of your sin is so heavy that you cannot. Could be your lust, lying, anger, gossip, coveting, you name it, you done it. We've all done it. And because of that weight of that sin, we cannot get out of Egypt. We cannot get out. The chains are too strong for us. And you know what also happens in our life is not only the chains of our sin is so strong, the chains of our world and the voices in our world is so strong. I mean, the bad news right now is out of control. There's just so much bad news. It is constantly popping the bubble of hope in each of your lives. The news tells you the world's over. Your phone tells you that your life is over. And your voice inside of you tells you that you're over. It's just constant bad news. So we have the weight of our sin, the weight of this life, just barreling down on each of our lives. But there's some good news. There's some really good news. And the good news is this, that God loves you. He loves you. Can you believe that? And all the junk that you've done just this week, all the sin that you've done, all the things that you've messed up in, God loves you. I love what S.M. Lockridge said. He's a famous preacher, but he said this. Just listen to this. God does not love us on the account of our character, but on his character. He does not love us because we are valuable, but we are valuable because God loves us. God does not love us because Jesus died for us, but Jesus died for us because he loves us. His love is stronger than any sin, deeper than any sorrow, mightier than any death. This is our anthem. His love is so deep for you. So deep. It's so deep that he did four things. There's four realities, and it's found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. There's four truths in that. The first truth is this: there's a cost of salvation. There's the cause of salvation. The reason why God sent his son was this: because he loved you. He loved you. So he sent his son. The cost of your salvation, the second thing is this: he gave his one and only son. Any parents or grandparents in here? Can you imagine giving up your child to die for somebody that maybe is a crook or a thief or somebody that abducted somebody, somebody just horrible? Can you imagine giving up your precious child for them? I can't. Like, my kids, you guys, I don't love you guys enough to give up my kids. Like, my kids trump all you all times two, okay? Like, they are my pride and my joy. But God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And the condition of your salvation. This is what you have to do in order to receive the salvation. The condition: that whoever believes in him. Man, you're lucky. How easy is that? It's actually harder than we think, because we believe in ourselves more than we believe in God. Because I can do it. I can do it. But that's the cost. That's the condition, is that we have to believe in him. And here's the consequences. Here's what happens, because if we put our belief in him, we should not perish but have everlasting life. That's it. And my heart would break if anybody in here or online does not know this simple but life-changing truth. Putting your belief, your hope in Jesus, knowing Jesus. But it's hard, because a lot of us are in control. We can do it. We don't need God. I can do this by myself. I'll go to church. I'll listen to the guy talk. I'll do my little things. But the weight of my eternity rests fully on Jesus and Jesus alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 10:39, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. If we try to do this, we try to control our life, try to do our own life, we are going to lose our life. But if we lose our life for him, we will truly find life for the first time. Maybe today you've never known real life. You've really never known something greater. He calls us to be like him. He calls us to follow him. He calls us to believe in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's actually written on our church. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Like, he is brand spanking new. The old is gone. The new has come. That's only because of what God can do in your life. But here's the reality of this. God is not a crazy aunt who barges in on Christmas Day. He actually stands outside the door. He stands outside the door and gently knocks. And he rings the Ring doorbell. But he does not barge in. Isn't that amazing? He lets you make the decision. He lets you choose to follow him. He lets you choose to make that decision that will change your life. But he stands at the door and knock. Revelation tells us this. This is Jesus' words. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. I'm standing at the door and knocking. For our church, this is the most important thing that we will ever do, is that people come to know Jesus. Most important thing that could ever happen is that people actually come to know Jesus. Not know new life, but know Jesus and experience new life through Jesus. That's what this is all about. It is not to make you just a better person. It is not to make you wealthy and good looking. That's hard to do, okay? I'm just joking. It is to make you like Jesus. But it is first to know Jesus. It starts with knowing Jesus. And when I was 18, 19 years old, and I heard that story about those men, I said, I want to know that Jesus too. I don't want to just go to my parents' church and sit there and be bored. I need to know this Jesus too. And he has truly changed me. He is so real to me. He is my dearest friend. To know him, not just to know about him, but to know him. He invites you into a relationship with him. Not know about him, but to know him. Have you guys ever received those crazy emails that, you know, send $10 million to my impoverished cousin in Brazil right now? Have you guys ever received those emails? Why don't you send the $10 million? First, we don't have it. Second, though, you don't know this person. It's like, who is this crazy person? I'm going to send them a dollar. But if you had a dear friend call you up and say, man, I need 200 bucks right now. We're about to get our lights shut off. What would you guys do? You do it because you know the person. It's all based on knowing them. But if you don't know them, you're not going to do anything for them. It starts with knowing Jesus. And the way you walk into that door is through putting your faith and belief on him and him alone. Saying, I cannot do this. I'm so covered in my sin that, Lord, I put all of it on you. When I stand before you in heaven, when I die, you all are going to die. When I die, the only thing that I have is Jesus. It is not my works, not because I went to church, not because I served in the nursery, which God will bless you for that, but not because of any of that. It's because I believed on Jesus. That's what I have. That's what I stand on. Because he loved you so much that he gave his only son to you. But there is only one door, one way into something greater. We're going to explore what God has in these next couple weeks for you. Like, get ready. Like, oh man, it's going to be good. We're going to break this down because there's three more things I believe God wants to do in your life. But listen, you ain't ever going to experience that unless you walk through the first door. It starts with Jesus and Jesus alone. My wife and I, for our honeymoon, we went to Disneyland. Because that's how cool we are. But we went to Disneyland. And one thing about Disneyland, this is pre-COVID, right? But there was like one entrance into Disneyland. And you're like next to all these other people, and it's kind of smelly and sweaty, but it's like you could see Disneyland in the background. I mean, it was a cool experience because they got all these gates up, but that one entrance into something greater. And the only way you're ever going to experience greater in this life is through that one door, through Jesus Christ. The only way that you will ever experience what this life is truly about, but it has to be through that one door. One time, went out with a young man, and we were talking, and he's talking like about church and other things, and just chatting, and he made a comment to me that just blindsided me. He said, yeah, Tim, you know, Jesus, he's awesome, and you know, he's good, but you know, I don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. Like, I mean, come on, Tim. Like, he can't be the only way. I think there's multiple ways to heaven. Like, other people in other countries are different. There's not just one way. And I just had this thought recently. If there are multiple ways to God, how invaluable is Jesus then? How invaluable was his death? If there was just multiple ways, man, save the heartache and don't die. But because there's only one way, he had to die. Because there's only one access point for you, he had to die. Because he loved you so much that he gave his life for you. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know him? Or do you know about him? Have you put your faith in him alone? Or have you added on him to you? This is the most important question you will ever hear from this podium or music stand, whatever you want to call it. It's the most important question. Do you know me? Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, a very scary passage, where some people will actually go up to that, and Jesus says, I never knew you. People go up thinking, oh yeah, I got this. I did good stuff. I did good stuff. I gave money to an orphanage. I did this and that. And Jesus says, I never knew you. It's about knowing him. And the only way you can know him today is through him, is putting your faith, your trust in him and him alone. I'll invite the worship team up. If you have never done that today, I ask that you would put your faith in Jesus and him alone today. If you've never done that, because we are going to experience what greatness is really about, what being a part of something greater, but it starts with Jesus and Jesus alone. And for those that are at home and you're not here in person, if you've never done that, you want to know more about what it means to know Jesus, or you want to put your faith in him, you can text this number, because we're not in person, but you can text this number at 515-297-7447. Text that this week, and we're going to reach out to you, make sure that you know Jesus. And if you've never, in here, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have that relationship with him, I pray today is that day for you, that you choose to believe in him. And what that looks like, I mean, what does that practically look like? Well, it's a lot like just surrendering. It's saying, God, I can't do this, and you are the only one who can. I don't trust in myself for salvation. I trust in you alone for salvation. That I cannot be good enough. I can't put that final piece on. You are the only one who can, and I put all of my weight on you today. So when I die, and there's heaven and there's hell, I can be assured that I'm going to heaven because of my relationship with you, because I put my trust in you. If you've never done that, I ask you to do that today. And then let me know. Come grab me afterwards and say, Tim, that was me today. That was me today. We're going to sing a song, and the song is In Christ Alone. And I love this song. I'm going to share a couple of the lyrics. It says, In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. And I pray that that is a reality for each and every one of you today. That he becomes our all in all, despite what happens around us. In him and him alone do we have all of our joy, our hope, our song. So we're going to close by singing these two songs. We're going to close by singing this out. I pray that if it's a reality in your life, that you let him know. You're not singing to your neighbor. You're not singing to this band. You're singing to him. You're claiming who he is in your life. And so why don't you guys stand as we close? And I want to invite the prayer team to the front and to the sides. And if God's working inside of your heart today, if he's doing something inside your heart today, maybe you don't know this Jesus. Maybe you've never put your trust in him and him alone. Or maybe you're just going through something where you're just needing some strength. I ask that you would come grab one of these prayer team members and just pray with them. Let them come alongside you. You at home, you can text in prayer to that same number. We'll reach out to you this week. We want to make sure that you're not alone. But let's sing this anthem out in thankfulness for what he's done, that we get a chance to know the God of heaven.